When Miriam Zoll was in the prime of her reproductive years, she wasn't sure she wanted to be a mother. Her career was in full swing. The love of her life had married someone else. Her own childhood had been stressful and unhappy. And anyway, there was no rush to decide.
I had certainly heard about the biological clock. That conversation fell off the table in the late 90s and early 2000s and was replaced with, you don't have to worry about your biological clock anymore. If you have trouble getting pregnant, just go to a fertility clinic and they'll get you pregnant.
Plus, as a women's health advocate who co-founded the Ms. Foundation's Take Your Daughter to Work Day, she didn't want to be defined by her biology.
But when I decided I wanted to become a mom, everything began to focus on my hormones. So it was like all the years that I didn't focus on it, Mother Nature was now giving me payback.
That payback began at 40, after Zoll had reunited with and married her first love. They moved from New York City to a quiet farmhouse in Conway, Massachusetts, and tried for 2 years to get pregnant naturally. When that didn't work, they didn't panic. They went to a fertility clinic.
Most people in our social circle were endorsing the treatments, saying that they knew someone who got pregnant, the treatments work. So we signed up very optimistically, and when our first cycle failed, we were dumbstruck.
As she chronicles in her memoir, Cracked Open, Liberty, Fertility, and the Pursuit of High-Tech Babies, Zoll and her husband spent a heartbreaking decade and tens of thousands of dollars going through 6 failed cycles of in vitro fertilization. In IVF, an egg and sperm are combined in the lab and implanted in the woman's uterus. Zoll had 1 miscarriage and tried twice to use donor eggs that turned out not to be viable.
It was then that I began to really question what we were doing and why we were doing it. And it was also when I realized that there were no consumer protections in place.
Zoll argues that fertility clinics take advantage of the desperation of many older, infertile couples by encouraging costly, physically demanding treatments they know have a small chance of working. The Society for Assisted Reproductive Technologies reports that about 40% of standard IVF treatments for women under 35 lead to babies. By the age of 42, that number goes down to 4%. Zoll doesn't doubt many fertility doctors have good intentions.
But I also think, because they are simultaneously wearing their doctor hats and their business hats, that when, for example, our doctor told me and my husband that my chances of having a baby through IVF were very low, he also told us that you never knew, it only took 1 good egg, and why not try?
It's that enticement, Zoll says, along with news of older celebrity pregnancies and miracle births, that lead women like her to become what she calls fertility junkies.
Couples become so obsessed, and their faith in the science to overcome a medical condition is so strong that they believe it will work the next time. And it's a psychological mechanism that I believe the industry understands. It's why the websites are full of pictures of beautiful babies in pink and blue blankets. It's why you don't see pictures of couples crying in each other's arms. You don't see pictures of women injecting syringes into their bellies.
Okay, so this is our reproductive biology IVF unit.
Dr. Cynthia Seitz offers a tour of Bay State Reproductive Medicine in Springfield, which performs about 500 IVF cycles a year, as well as less invasive treatments. Test tubes and long needles populate the lab, where biologist Lisa Ashcraft analyzes sperm under a microscope and counts the healthy swimmers.
I'd say the concentration is just a little bit on the low side.
Although Miriam Zoll was not a patient here, Dr. Seitz has sat with many a tearful couple whose treatment failed. She says Bay State is always transparent about the chances of a live birth. On a hospital bedside table, she picks up several laminated pages attached to a metal ring.
These are the types of statistics that we have down here to show patients. And as you can see, as patients get older, it's anywhere from about 4 or 5% up here to 30%.
Despite Zoll's critique of industry profits, Seitz says Bay State's doctors are salaried and have no incentive to encourage couples to keep at it indefinitely. After 3 or 4 failed cycles, sites may suggest they take a break from treatments or get a second opinion.
We don't want to waste their time. We don't want to waste our time. It's fruitless. It's nearly fruitless. As I said, I never say never, but the chances are diminishing. They may not hear it. They may not want to hear it.
I think our OB was very frank with us and very honest with us.
Erin Crucial of East Longmeadow has been going through treatments for a decade, including hormonal injections, intrauterine insemination, several failed IVF cycles, and 3 miscarriages. Like Miriam Zoll, Crucial delayed motherhood in part for her career and assumed she'd be among the women who get pregnant easily when they're older. When she learned her ovaries would not perform on command,
it was devastating. I mean, it literally felt like someone punched me in the gut, and I remember not being able to stand. And I think as we got into fertility treatments, it's a horrendous experience. It's invasive. It feels demeaning. But I don't blame the industry on that. I think that it's kind of the nature of the beast.
Now we can put our ingredients in. Not yet.
We're going to do the egg first.
First we're going to
do one key difference between Crucial's experience and Zoll's is the outcome. Crucial gave birth to a daughter 3 years ago using an egg donated by a distant relative.
It fell.
At 42, Crucial is now pregnant with her second child through egg donation and IVF.
It's kind of crazy to think that someone would be doing this for 10 years, and it is crazy because it did. It took a piece of me away. You know, it's nothing I would wish on anyone, but you know. You met my daughter. I mean, she's more than I could have ever imagined. And I spent a lot of time imagining.
The author Miriam Zoll and her husband eventually adopted a baby boy, whom they adore. So it's hard for Zoll, now 50, to wish things had gone differently. But she does urge other women to try for children earlier than she did, which she says would be easier if employers offered better family leave policies and workplace flexibility.
We have a right to be mothers and a right to work. And we should not feel that our economic and professional status is dependent on whether we agree to subject our bodies to fertility treatments because we're delaying motherhood.
Zoll has recently joined the board of Our Bodies Ourselves, the women's health collective based in Boston. Her goal is to make sure women have the facts they need to be informed reproductive health consumers. For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.